for helping us the next few moments in your word today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, calm us for the next few moments, Lord, as we just focus in and hear specifically what you are speaking to us. We are hungry, thirsty even, for your word, for your move, for your grace and your goodness. And I pray that you would bless us with all of it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We jumped into a new series last Sunday called Home Improvement, and we'll be talking about home improvement all of the month of June. And really, we're talking specifically about your house and our house. We're talking about the house you live in and the house that you worship in. Probably the two, I hope, most important places in your life, your house, your sanctuary, the place where you're raising your babies, and then, of course, your church, your house of worship, where we gather weekly. We gather all throughout the week in small groups and various reasons. Some people just, you know, sometimes I'll see them throughout the week, and hey, what you doing today? I don't know. I'm just stopping by to see what's going on. We like being around the church because there's something that feels safe about the house of God. And so we're talking about both of these important houses in our life and the fact that each of them need improvement. We want to work on both of them. We want to make them as strong and as excellent as they possibly can be. Last Sunday, we talked about being ready for remodel. We're prepared to do whatever it takes. If it's upgrades, if it's a punch list, whatever it is that needs to be done, we're ready to do that. And today, I want to talk to you about house guest. House guest. You've probably had company stop in. You've probably had guests who have come to stay for a few days. Some you wish would stay a little longer. Others you cannot wait for them to go. You're excited. You know, they almost wonder just how happy you are when you pack all of their stuff for them and have their car gassed up and backed into the driveway so that they're ready to move out just as quickly as possible. Yeah, we've had all of those different kinds of house guest. The guest that I want to talk about today is a guest who's going to make our houses better. He's going to make this house a better house. Acts chapter 2 today, beginning at verse number 1. I don't know if we can take reverb off. We may not be able to change anything. All right, hands are in the air. We can't do anything. So just roll with me. I know you're hearing an echo, but this is set for a singer, and I'm speaking, so we're just going to work together here a little bit. I'll try to speak a little slower so that it comes off a little clearer for you today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and what one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So he came and filled up the house where they were sitting. That's what the Bible said. It's an interesting story to try to figure out, to try to find out how the upper room came about. I mean, we understand why those people were there waiting. We understand who they were and where they came from. But I'm curious about the room itself and trying to figure out who the upper room belonged to makes for an interesting study. Because it's really believed to be in, or at least a part of, someone's house. Believed to be someone's house. It's very possibly the same room where Jesus had his last supper with the disciples. And of course, they discovered, or he told Judas, whatever you're going to do, go and do quickly. And so it's the same room. It very well may have been a sleepover slash resting place for Jesus and the disciples when they were in or around Jerusalem. This is where they would just stay for a little while, hang their hat for a little while, get some rest. There's differing opinions on this, but when you study the Talmud, which is a history book that parallels and confirms much of the history of the Bible, it really tells the best story. And it believes or expresses that the upper room belonged to Nicodemus. I don't know if you know who Nicodemus is, but we meet him in John chapter 3. He comes to Jesus by night, the Bible said, which is interesting in and of itself. He's considered one of the three wealthiest people in the city of Jerusalem. So he has a lot of money, and so that makes sense that he would have this kind of room available, or that he would have a house large enough that would have this kind of space that could be used for this purpose. And I don't know why Nicodemus came by night. There's a number of reasons. Perhaps maybe it's because of his wealth. Maybe it's because of his political associations. Maybe different his status, his religious status in the community. Many people at that time were still so unsure about Jesus. They were not settled in whether or not they believed in him. The religious of the day were saying that he was blaspheming and that he was completely out of order, but yet they're conflicted because they're seeing blind eyes opened and seeing deaf ears hearing again, and the lame are walking and leaping, and so there's a lot of uncertainty around who Jesus is. And Nicodemus, he's putting himself out there, but at the same time he's coming by night and making sure that he still has some coverage. I just know I'm feeling something in my heart, but I'm trying to rectify it with my head, and these two things are not lining up. And he's only mentioned a couple of more times beyond John 3, and yet he's there. He hasn't left. In John 7, the religious are arguing about Jesus, and they're talking about what should be done to him and about him. And Nicodemus speaks up in the middle of this argument, and he asks a probing question of those religious people, trying to get them to think or maybe see another point of view, perhaps. And then in John 19, after Jesus has been crucified, they know he's going to be buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but it is Nicodemus whom the Bible says brings the aloes and the myrrhs, which were considered very, very expensive. So it's Nicodemus and his wealth that is allowing this to happen and making sure that Jesus has what he needs to be buried properly. What is implied here is that out of this John chapter 3 conversation with Jesus came a conversion. It came a change in his life. And ultimately, there is a welcome, if you are to believe this angle of the Talmud and the different verses that you put together, this theory that the upper room belonged technically and actually to Nicodemus, or it was a part of his house, then obviously out of this conversion, Nicodemus is saying, look, Jesus, anytime you're in Jerusalem, anytime you need my house. Anytime you need a place to meet or whatever, listen, this is available to you. Nicodemus is who I would describe as a king. He is a man who has means. He is a man who has resource. He is a man who understands that it takes money to advance the kingdom and to move the ball forward. He understands that you're not going to be able to do what you are gifted to do, called to do, destined to do without my resource and without my help. It's another message for another time, but I'm praying some kings into this church, some people, men, women, it doesn't matter, people who understand that it's not just about the little bit that I can put into the plate each week, but it is about making a difference that allows us to advance the mission, advance the vision even that much faster. Nicodemus is one of those people who understand and says, whatever I have, I want to give it to make sure that the kingdom of God advances as quickly as possible. He wants Jesus in his house, and he's making sure that Jesus knows that he's always a welcomed guest in his house. I traveled for years. I traveled about 15 years as an evangelist, and I've stayed. I've been a house guest so many times. I've got the t-shirts and the stories, and some of them are nightmare stories, but I have stayed so many places and been through so many things. When I was preparing this week to teach today, I was thinking about some of the different instances, different situations. I remember arriving for revival in Indiana, and they said, oh, we've got a place for you to stay, and they walked me into a Sunday school room, and it was, it was the most bare room I think I've ever been in. There was literally on the floor, not on a cot, not on a box spring, not on a metal frame. It was just one of those blue and white, I call them prison issue mattresses. If you've ever spent a night in jail, you know exactly what I'm talking about. One of them blue and white striped, just thin mattresses. It was laying on the floor. There was no fitted sheet. There was no blanket. There was no pillow. It was just a blue and white mattress laying on the floor. There was no mattress, there was no nightstand, there was no little bedside table, there was no mirror, there was just a nail driven into the wall, and that's where I was supposed to hang my clothes. I was the welcomed house guest. I was the guest. There's another house I'm thinking of in Wisconsin that I stayed in one night, and it was bitter cold in Wisconsin, and we were glad to be there, and it was a great night of revival, and I arrived just at church time and dressed and ready to go and had church, and then they were taking me to the place where I was going to sleep for the night, and they put me in a bedroom that had a water bed, and I thought, well, I don't know, I've always heard about these. I've never slept on a water bed, but I, you know, get ready for bed and climb into this thing and just about get seasick and all of that. But I never will forget waking up just a little while later, and I was the coldest I've ever been in my life. I was freezing cold. It wasn't just that there was a threadbare blanket on top of the waterbed that literally had big holes in it that you could put your whole hand through. It wasn't just that I did not have proper covers. I found out the next morning after I'm at the point of frostbite, gangrene. I've got problems. This is not good that they tell me, oh, we forgot to tell you the heater is out in the waterbed. So it didn't matter how much I wrapped up. I'd gotten up in the middle of the night and just nearly put my suit on from church the night before. I was freezing cold. But there was no way to get warm because the cold water was sucking all of my body heat out. It was freezing cold outside. I could tell you about the other house who made sure there were fresh chocolate chip cookies waiting for me, and I don't know what it was. I don't know why I did it. I don't normally do this because I love me some chocolate chip cookies, homemade chocolate chip cookies. I love them. I love them. But I broke one of them open, and when I broke it open, it stayed together. It was held together by cat hair. It's a true story. I was a house guest. I mean, you got a smile. I broke it open, and you could just see the strands of hair. Not just one. That would have grossed me out, but I'm talking about multiple cat hairs holding these two halves of cookies together. And it didn't matter which one of them I broke open, all of them were covered in cat hair. I was staying in a house where the cats were allowed to lay on the kitchen countertops. If you're here tonight, today, and you allow that, get to this altar today before it's over. I'm gonna drown you in oil and cast that devil out of you. Oh, Jesus. I remember the bird in my room in Oklahoma. A bird. It was a talking bird. The bird sang in tongues. It's a true story. I woke up to a bird singing in tongues. Why am I doing this? Why am I staying here? Listen, I've got PTSD from some of the places that I've stayed. Now when someone says, we'd love for you to come stay a night in our house, I'm Googling whether or not there's a Marriott close by. Because I've put my time in, I've paid my dues, and now I'm looking for something that says Holiday, Marriott. I'm looking for somewhere else to stay because house guest, it's interesting. But you know, company coming is, it's fun. It's fun when you have family, when you have good friends that are coming to stay a few days with you. Now we have Airbnb, which is cool and creepy all at the same time. When I was traveling back and forth before moving here, it's a wonderful old house right off of the square. They have a room that is their Airbnb room, and fantastic private bathroom, and I still see those folks around town, just super nice people, but they made me a great, great deal, and I would stay there, you know, when I would come in for a couple of days out of the week, and Airbnb, that's happening all over the place now. I've stayed in multiple Airbnbs around the country, different things, and, you know, almost always there's at least one room you can't get into. There's what they call the owner's closet, and that's always, you don't have access to that. There's a separate key that gets you into that room, and you can't get there, and ironically, that's the only room I care anything about going into, because I'm nosy like that. I want to know what's behind that door. I want to know what's being kept from me. But let me ask you this today. What if the Holy Spirit was coming for a visit? What if the Holy Spirit was your house guest? How are you going to prepare? This is Pentecost Sunday, as Justin mentioned. We're 50 days from Easter, and this is the anniversary, if you will. This is the day that we celebrate and commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2. This is why Nicodemus did what he did. I want you to come and stay in my house. I want you to be welcomed in my house. I want you to always have a place in my house. Again, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. I love the language of the Bible. I love how specific the Bible is. He said he filled the entire house. You see, Jesus had told Nicodemus in that John 3 conversation that he had with him in the middle of the night. He said, let me tell you something about my spirit. I want you to be born of water and spirit. Let me tell you something about my spirit. It's going to go wherever it wants to go. It's like wind, and when wind blows, you can do your best to block it. You can put some kind of shield up. You can try to barricade yourself if you want to. But if the wind wants to get to where you are, it's going to reach you, because the wind blows where it wants to blow, and my spirit moves where it wants to move. So if you're going to invite me into your life, you have to know that I am going to try to fill up your entire life. You're not going to just be able to give me one part of you. Lord, I just want you to fill up my hands. Leave the rest of me alone. Lord, I just want you to fill up my heart, but leave my mind alone. Let me just keep thinking the way I've always thought. Just leave my feet alone. Let me just keep going where I've always gone. No, he said, I'm going to fill up the whole house, everything. I'm going to fill it all up. You seem interested, Nick, so let me tell you up front, when I show up, I want your entire life. I want your whole life from head to toe. I'm always wanting to get in that owner's closet because there's something they're keeping from me. There's something they're hiding from me. And I think a lot of times we invite Jesus in. We invite his spirit to move in our lives. And then we have the owner's closet that we say, Lord, we're keeping this locked up. We don't want you in this part of our life. We don't want you in this room in our house. We want you to have free reign, Lord. You are Lord of everything except this one part of my life that I'm keeping for me. But hear me today. If we're going to desire more of God in our lives, then we have to be willing to give him the whole house. That means our kids' rooms have to be open to him. Our teenagers' rooms have to be open to the Spirit of the Lord. The media room has to be open to the Spirit of the Lord. That room where I have my computer, where I look up things and do things and watch, that has to be open. I done stepped off in it. It has to be open to the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, how can you just want Jesus on a part-time basis? How can you just want him on an every now and then basis? That's not my desire, and that's not the way the Lord works. If I say, Lord, I want you in my life, then he says, I'm coming. I'm coming with all of my glory. I'm coming with all of my goodness, but you're going to have to be willing to allow me into every room and do every nook and do every cranny. You're going to have to allow me to have free reign in your life, top to bottom, front to back, and everywhere in between. You gotta allow me into your life. Let me work with the whole house. Need him in the master room. Here's the deal. If he's not Lord of everywhere, then he's not Lord of anywhere. I know that's probably too much, and somebody didn't bargain for all of that today, but I'm gonna tell you the truth. This is home improvement. This is how we better ourselves. And you know what? It goes for this house as well. We want him in our offices. We want him on our stage. We want him in our finances. We want him Lord over everything on this campus. We want him to be our house guest. Let me hurry. I've got just a moment with you, and I'm going to hit these three things very quickly, because I want to talk to you about how to host a house guest. How do I host a house guest? And if I'll do this very quickly, then our team can come back and sing a couple of more songs. We can worship our way out of here this afternoon. But if I'm going to host a house guest, I think this is probably universal and probably true. And if I were to ask you, I think you would give me these same answers. But if you know company's coming, if you know you're going to have a house guest this summer, I guarantee three of these things you are absolutely going to do. If I'm going to host a house guest, then number one, I need to clean up. I need to clean up. I got to get ready for the guest to arrive. I have to prepare a place for my guest to stay. I'm talking about cleaning like your mother-in-law is coming. Cleaning like you know somebody's going to talk about you if you don't clean it good. Clean it up. Got to clean up. It's just a fact. When the guest is coming, when the right guest is coming, when it's someone that we want to impress, then you know just like I do that your house gets a deep clean. Gets a deep clean. You go off into those rooms, into those corners, into those places that don't normally get any attention. You get step ladders out and you get those extended dusters to go up and get ceiling fans. And that's how we know if you're really clean or not. We look at your ceiling fans. You know, you get it all. When the right guest is coming, you want to make sure that everything is clean. You want to make sure it's deep clean. Can I read to you Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Then Peter said to them, repent. If you want the Spirit in your life, then you have to clean up. You have to repent. That's what that word means. It means to do an about face. It means to change. It means to turn away from wrong things, from dirty things, from unholy things, from unclean things. You need to clean up if you want this guest to come and stay with you and live in your house. Repentance means that I can't just shove it under the bed or into the closet. Have you ever done that? Have you ever hidden it under the bed and shoved it into the closet and your guest shows up and you're trying to tell them, no, not that closet, and they open it anyway? And then all of a sudden, these kids, you blame it on your kids or blame it on your husband. I told him to clean. I can't trust him to do anything. If we brought a fingerprint kit in, it would be yours all over it. You did it. You know it. I'm not talking about fake cleaning. Fake cleaning does not work with your mother-in-law or the Holy Ghost. If you want him to come and live with you, then you have to clean up for reals. You got to clean up. You got to clean it right. You got to clean it good. And you're saying, wait a minute, Pastor, this is where I get off track with church because I cannot do that perfection thing. Listen, I'm preaching today and there is nothing perfect about me. There's all kinds of stuff and issues just like there are in your life. But like David, it's my heart that keeps reaching. I'm like the deer that is thirsting and panting and craving and desiring the water. I woke up this morning wanting more of Jesus in my life. I woke up this morning purposed in my mind to worship him with my whole heart, to extend my hands as high as I could get them, to lift my voice as loud as it would go. Why? Because I want more of him. So I'm not trying to fake clean. It's genuine. Lord, I need you to come and live in this house. We were living for a while in a house that was for sale. And that's interesting because it had to be ready at all times. Now, that's challenging to do when you have two kids who are messier than wild animals. And a wife that's worse than them. She's up in kids' day, I'll say whatever I want to say. Don't tell her. Shh. No, it's challenging to live in a house that is for sale and that has to be show ready at all times. I mean, you don't realize how messy you are until the house has to be clean at all times. You got to be ready at all times. It's challenging, and sometimes we feel that challenge. Wait a minute. I can't have any issues in my life because I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. I don't want to offend His grace. I don't want to offend His goodness. But listen to me. The Lord understands our daily dust. He understands. He understands you cannot walk through this life without seeing it, without experiencing it, without being forced on you. I mean, you can have a good heart and not be trying to watch stuff that's out of bounds or do things that are wrong. But I mean, stuff will just come at you and you just see stuff and you have to deal with it on a daily basis. He's not talking about that kind of thing. He's saying, I'm trying to get at the motivations in your life. I'm trying to get at the secret places in your life. I'm trying to heal some of those things in your heart and in your life and the way those things work in your world. He's not talking about the daily dust. He's trying to deal with those two-week-old pizza boxes. He's trying to deal with the obvious things that need to be cleaned up in your life and in mine. So I need to clean up. That's number one. Number two, if I'm going to host you as my house guest, then I want you to have your favorite things. I want you to have your favorite things. Sometimes when I travel, They call ahead of time and they ask what my favorite snacks are, what my favorite drinks are. What would you like to have in your room? Generally, at the top of my list is a fresh bar of soap. Because if I come stay in your house, I do not want to use the used bar of soap that your Aunt Bunny used last time she was hanging out with you. Is this too real today? Ain't none of y'all invite me to come to your house, are you? I felt that. It's just a fresh bar of soap. I'll figure out. I've been eating all my life. I'm a raging success. I will figure out the snacks. But I want to start with some fresh soap. What do you want? What do you like? What is the deal? I want you to have some of your favorite things. So if we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come live in our lives, to come and take up residence in our lives, what if we made an effort to give to Him the things that He loves the most? What if we were obedient to Psalm 22 and 3 that says He inhabits or He lives among the praises of Israel? What if we would give Him worship? What if we would give to Him praise? What if we would say, you know what? We've invited the Holy Spirit to come take up residence in our lives, and we want to make sure that He has His favorite thing. So we're going to give Him all the praise that He's worthy of. We're going to give Him all the worship that belongs to Him, that He deserves. What would happen if we didn't have to be primed, if we didn't have to be pushed, if we didn't have to be cheerleaded? But if we would just come in on a Sunday, I'm talking about home improvement, what would make our house better? What would make our church better? It would make it better if we would enter His gates with thanksgiving and come into His courts with if we would start worshiping in the parking lot and just dance our way into the house of God. Why? Because I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I've come to worship Him with my whole heart today. You say, Pastor Dale, I don't think it takes all that emotionalism. Maybe not. But it didn't take all that sitting down like you're mad at somebody either. We need it somewhere in between the two extremes. Home improvement. If you're our guest today, just Hold on. I'm starting to say that every week now, aren't I? This is a problem. I'm sorry, guest. This is probably just who we are. It is true. I do have multiple preacher personalities, so come next week and I may be teaching real boring. You never know. Talking about making sure that he has his favorite things. What's another of his favorite things? Jude 1 and 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a good host to the Holy Spirit, why don't you pray in the Holy Spirit? Why don't you talk to the Lord and let him talk to you? We do that around here on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7. Powerful, incredible, awesome prayer opportunities here on Tuesday night. And I love to walk around and talk to God and pour it all out to him and tell him everything I need him to know and repent of stuff and confess stuff and just be honest in the presence of the Lord. And then at some point, I'm just going to get quiet and I'm going to let the Lord talk to me. What would happen if we would pray in the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about just coming to him when we've got a crisis or a need or something that we cannot fix on our own. I'm talking about daily, daily confessing, daily reaching, daily praying in the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I know you know my future and I'm asking you to order my steps, to lead, to direct, and give me the right information that I need so that I can be who you've called me to be. That's his favorite thing. I want my house guests to feel comfortable. I want to be a good host. Thirdly, let me get to this and then I'll close. I want my house to be your house. That's what I want. That's how I host. That's how I host you as my guest. That's how I host the Holy Spirit. I want my house to be your house. I want you to make yourself at home. I want the Holy Spirit to be so comfortable that my house feels like his house and his house feels like my house. I want the Holy Spirit to have run of the house. I want him to have control and that every room would be open to him. John 16 and 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. I love that because that is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is the goodness and the work of, I'm telling you, he's so much more than goosebumps running up and down our spine. He's so much more than, whoo, you feel that? That's great. But he came to do a lot more than that. The Bible said that Jesus will make intercession for us. He's like the defense attorney between you and the judge. And he's saying, hey, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in your life. And he's going to tell you my secrets. He's going to whisper to you and speak to you and guide you and lead you and to direct you. Why? Because he has privileged information. He knows the end from the beginning. And he's wanting to clue you in and tell you, hey, don't zig. You ought to zag right here. Hey, don't do that. Do this over here instead. You ever feel that prompting in your life? You ever feel that directing in your life? No. I was having a teaching moment traveling back from Texas with Jude last week. And he was wanting to go by the Nike outlet. And so we stopped Gulf Shores, Gulfport, whatever it is right there, the Nike outlet. And it was taking longer because I'd said, look, we got in the parking lot. I said, you have 7.5 minutes. That's all you got. We're on a schedule. 7.5 minutes turned into 37.5 minutes. Because boy, I don't know what's happened in the last couple weeks, but all of a sudden he cares about how he looks. I don't see him in here either, so I can talk about him too. So we get back on the interstate and traffic is completely stopped. dead still. Put the car in park. We don't move for 50 minutes, 55 minutes, almost an hour. We sit still. And he's antsy and I'm antsy. We're on a bridge. He's got to go to the bathroom. There's nowhere to go. Why is this happening? It's a wonderful teaching moment, son. I don't know. But what I've learned is sometimes the Holy Spirit, not sometimes, all the time, is working for our good even when we don't know. I don't know what time this accident up ahead of us happened. But if we'd have been any quicker in that store, it might have been us in it. So sometimes you just have to take your hands off the wheel and say, thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, because you are working for my good. Even while I'm complaining and I'm frustrated and aggravated, you are working for my good. That's what he will do for us. Holy Spirit. Because a good house guest will make your home better. Will teach your kids things. The Holy Spirit will make our houses better. Here's the deal. We've all had those guests who stop by unannounced. Never had that happen. You smiled. You said, come on in, y'all. What a wonderful, Lord, forgive me for lying, surprise. Oh, you've caught me. I look a mess. Same clothes you wear every day. I don't know how the house got in this condition. Same way it looked yesterday. Come on in. You got people in your life that they have that privilege. Stop by unannounced. But let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He has to be invited. He has to be invited. He may do a drive-by every now and then. Some of you, that may be what's happening today. You've never invited him into your life, but you felt him in this service. You felt him during worship, and you feel him moving, swirling all around you right now. He's just doing a drive-by in your life. He's not coming to live inside yet. He's just coming by saying, hey, just want you to know how good this could be. I'm ringing your doorbell. All you have to do is let me in. You got to invite him. When you want him inside. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, my house is not good enough. It's not nice enough. It's not clean enough. It's not fancy. But let me tell you something about the Lord. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. You know what the next verse says, Acts 2 and 39? He said, for this promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's for everybody. He wants to live in your life. He wants to live in your life. Would you stand with me across this room? Hallelujah, Lord. I'm